Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, it was another good week for the May canola contract. We'll hear from PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo on that. A major irrigation project in Saskatchewan that has been talked about for years is moving forward. Premier Scott Moe made the announcement at the SARM convention in Regina yesterday. Fertilizer prices are increasing as spring approaches. However, a large price drop is anticipated after seeding. We'll hear from Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com, who has put together a news story for us on that. And there are many exciting things on the way for agriculture and industry, but they depend on internet access, and if there isn't a strong enough connection, they will be missing out on opportunities. Rural broadband was the theme of a speech from Conservative MP Jeremy Patzer, who was at the SARM convention on Wednesday. We'll hear from him. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. Another good week for the May canola contract. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo says canola was up $17 a metric ton this week to about $626 in early trading this morning.
So that's a nice kind of spike up from the lows just back on February 28th. Sixth, we were actually at about $580 a ton. So, over that $45 increase that we've seen now just in about a month time frame now. And on the Minneapolis wheat front, a little bit different of a story. We're actually down approximately 10 cents a bushel on the week on the May Minneapolis contract at around this 652 a bushel area. It seems like we are kind of rolling over again on the charts, maybe potentially looking to go test kind of those lows of that kind of 642 area. One thing that I am kind of watching is that May soybeans, it seems that have triggered some buy stops above the resistance. So basically all that means is it looks like the kind of the soybean charts are potentially kind of going lower here with really heavy hedge kind of related selling and technical indicators are kind of pointing to that kind of market going a little bit lower. The market was due for a correction, I'd say, after a nearly 90 cent rally off the lows February 29th. So I'm kind of, again, watching that on the bean and bean oil side to see how that could affect maybe kind of canola going forward.
He says the Stats Canada Seeding Intention Survey had very little impact on the price of canola.
You know what? It wasn't a big factor right now. Kind of everything did come in kind of around that trade expectations. One thing I would say is that the export numbers that they came in at, I think, are quite a bit higher than, you know, it might actually happen this year. So one thing I'm watching is that how canola really hasn't been really, China hasn't been buying our canola. And if that kind of trend stays, which Stats can doesn't. But again, if it does, we could see still lower canola prices than we are right now. So that's another reason why I'm now on this rally we've seen here in the last month, kind of discussing with clients some new crop hedging strategies, using options and things like that.
Piccolo also talks about the impact of the Canadian dollar on the commodity markets.
Exactly. It kind of is kind of staying around that 74 cent area. Right now, oil actually looks a little bit more attractive on the charts, kind of on the May WTI contract above $80 again. So I think that's kind of helping out the Canadian dollar a little bit. But right now on the Canadian dollar, I would say it's really range bound as well too. So kind of that 73 kind of area to that 76 area. So a 3 cent difference, but it really hasn't gotten too much above or kind of below those levels.
He then goes into the Minneapolis wheat market.
Well, maybe kind of just finish up on the wheat front. I'll leave that with you. And it just seems like the bear camp remains in clear control of wheat right now. In other words, it kind of seems like the markets could kind of keep going lower on that front. Prices have really been unable to build any momentum, especially this week due to weak global values and Chinese cancellations. The near-term forecast for the Southern Plains is dry, but rain chances show up in the forecast of that kind of 6 to 10 day time frame. So really there's no cold threat on the horizon for U.S. wheat as well. So I would say, you know, that's until, you know, bullish news comes out on the wheat front. The global bearish fundamentals will just maybe kind of keep pushing that market lower. So something else that I've been chatting about with clients.
That's Adam Pacallo with PI Financial in Winnipeg. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
H Canada says it has had to make the difficult decision to lay off 7 staff members following a major cut to the funding it receives from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. The move comes after 4-H Canada was informed midway through the fiscal 2023-24 year that its funding under the Federal Agri-Competitiveness Program was approved, but at a significantly lower level than requested and past funding. The timing of the news, when the fiscal budget was already in place, created challenges for the organization. A number of factors related to AAFC impacted the amount of funding 4-H Canada received through the department this year, including changes to government priorities, which attracted increased interest in the program from new applicants and which, in turn, resulted in fewer dollars being available to legacy organizations such as 4-H Canada. Manitoba Agriculture Minister Ron Costitian has released a statement on product of USA labeling regulations. He says the long-standing positive trade relationship between Canada and the United States has been beneficial to both countries, supports greater food security for Manitobans, and has benefited Manitoba producers and consumers. Costitian believes the recent release of the final product of USA voluntary labeling regulations for meat, poultry, and egg products will affect this relationship, increasing barriers between Canada and the United States and impacting the meat and livestock sector. He says the Manitoba government is concerned that this final rule discounts the long-standing and positive trade relationship that benefits Manitoba producers and consumers. Manitoba will review the final rule and its impacts on Manitoba consumers, producers, and processors. World production of wheat, corn, and soybeans are all forecast to rise in the 2024-25 crop year. That's according to the first estimates from the International Grains Council for the upcoming growing season, released yesterday. The IGC expects world wheat production to hit 798.8 million metric tons in 2024-25, which compares with 789.5 million tons in the current marketing year. Of that total, the IGC forecasts Canadian wheat production at 38.3 million metric tons, which compares with the IGC's call for 2023-24 Canadian wheat production of 36.1 million tons. World wheat ending stocks are forecast to tighten to 262.2 million metric tons from an expected 267.5 million tons in 2023-24. World corn production is forecast at 1.233 billion metric tons, which compares with 1.227 billion expected in 2023-24. The IGC forecast world soybean production in 2024-25 at 412.8 million metric tons, which compares with 390.5 million for the current crop year. European policymakers plan to replace a requirement for farmers to leave land fallow with a voluntary scheme has been held up by disagreement on details. Polish farmers have been among those that have staged weeks of protests across the European Union to press a series of demands, including removing restrictions placed on them by the EU's Green Deal plan to tackle climate change, as they say they cannot afford them. Poland's farmers have a particular grievance because of increased competition from Ukraine's farmers, who they say have flooded the EU with cheap imports that leave them unable to compete. The European Commission is especially anxious to quell opposition from farmers ahead of European Parliament elections in June, in which the far right, for whom farmers represent a growing constituency, is seen making gains. Meanwhile, thousands of farmers rode buses and trains from across India to gather on Thursday at a rally in the capital, New Delhi, pressing a demand for higher guaranteed prices for their crops as they face down police barricades and tough security. The rally, days before general elections are expected to be called, in an exercise that will see Prime Minister Narendra Modi seek a rare third term, comes a month after police wielding tear gas and water cannons halted a farmers' march outside New Delhi. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's today's Ag Review. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly cloudy and 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Fertilizer prices are increasing as spring approaches. However, a large price drop is anticipated after seeding. Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com has this report.
Matthew Creutzfeldt, senior fertilizer merchant with Federated Co-op, was a speaker at the Cropportunities 2024 event held Thursday in Swift Current. Creutzfeldt says prices vary from one retail to the next, depending upon their situation. But both nitrogen, in the form of urea, and MAP, monoammonium phosphate, have both moved higher in recent weeks.
So yeah, I would call the urea market probably, you know, 800, 8.25 at retail right now. That's moved up probably about $60 in the last month and a half. And MAP prices have been fairly stable since the new year. They haven't moved up too much, but yeah, we're, you know, getting probably around to that 1100, 11.25 dollar per ton on MAP. In Western Canada.
As is often the case, Creutzfeldt expects urea prices to drop after seeding is complete.
The urea market, you know, it's very liquid, so it's, you know, easily affected by, you know, global activities. Recently, China announced that they're going to be coming back to the export market here in March. You know, those tons probably don't make it to the globe until, you know, May, June, till the summer. But that increase in supply will, you know, put pressure on global urea prices. And as I mentioned earlier, that reference to NOLA, you know, will be an impact on what we'll see in Western Canada. So we'd see a good reset on urea prices, probably back down to where we were this past summer, maybe even a little bit lower.
The same trend is expected for phosphate.
On the MAP side, so the phosphate side, a big two big factors. Again, China announcing that they're coming back to the global export market. So those tons don't really make it to Western Canada, but they do, you know, global supply improves, overall global prices come down. And the biggest factor that we will see this year is countervailing duties in the U.S., that were put in place by Mosaic and Nutrien to try and keep imports out of the, you know, U.S. market for competitive reasons and affordability reasons. Those have been drastically reduced, so we should see almost zero duties on especially Moroccan or OCP tons. So that will help rebalance the inventory into North America, and we should see, you know, prices come down again, probably into that $800 to $900 a ton range in the summer.
With prices expected to drop, retailers will want to run inventory down to low levels. Creutzfeldt says MAP is the one that could get tight for supply by the end of seeding, since all those tons are imported into Western Canada and we don't have domestic manufacturers.
Unique to Western Canada compared to, you know, North America is the amount of on-farm storage. So we do have a pretty high percentage of on-farm storage for fertilizer. So obviously, if you do have the ability to take some blends home or some fertilizer home, just have good conversations with your retail. Make sure that they know your plans. If you're thinking you need to do some late season planning or a contingency for, you know, depending on the weather, lots of those factors that play into that. But obviously the biggest thing is communication with your retail, just to make sure your plans are in line with what they're thinking.
For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
And it's time now for the livestock market conditions. They're a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Verdon.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 187.25 today. That's up 30. June live cattle closed at 183.60, up 22. April feeder cattle closed at 252.12, up 95. May feeder cattle closed at 256 even, up 117. April lean hogs closed at 86.92, up 190. May lean hogs closed at 93.17, up 157. And that's the livestock market conditions. A major irrigation project in Saskatchewan that has been talked about for years is moving forward. During his address to delegates at the SARM convention, Premier Scott Moe announced phase one of the Lake Diefenbaker irrigation expansion, and it's expected to begin next year. Work includes getting 90,000 acres ready for irrigation. But before construction starts, there will be engineering and design work alongside stakeholders and Indigenous rights holders over the next 12 to 14 months. Moe told members of SARM the last few years of drought made it abundantly clear that irrigation is key to improve crop production and the value of crops produced.
So for those of you in this room, with irrigation, it could potentially mean going from maybe a year like this last year of 7 or 8 bushels to the acre to 50 bushels to the acre each and every year. Or it could mean this: going from growing a crop that's about $600 an acre in revenues to growing a crop that might be $1,600 or $2,600 an acre in revenue. That means a lot, not just to you and your farm and your community and the increase in revenue that's available, but it means a lot to our province. It means literally thousands of jobs. It means value-added processing jobs. It means food production jobs, and it buffers us from some of the weather changes in certain areas that we've experienced.
The cost of the first phase of work is $1.15 billion to be cost-shared between the province and any farmers willing to participate in the project, as Premier Moe says they're not waiting for the federal government for help.
And we were hopeful that we would have a federal partner in starting this project and seeing it through, a federal funding partner, as they have had some, you know, comments and discussion in the early days of the importance of this project to the Canadian economy, not just the Saskatchewan economy. It doesn't look like that's coming through, but we'll continue to ask, continue to work with our federal government so that they could be a partner in this space, but we need to start moving on it.
But he's not sure what a producer's financial share of the project will be just yet.
We haven't worked out all of the shares as of yet, but we'll be working through that, from here on. The important thing is to get a step forward and get the project started, and then as producers come online, we'll be able to have a formula ready that so that they can participate, and they will cost share in part of the project.
SARM President Ray Orb, who has followed this project since the beginning, is happy with the province moving ahead with it, but when asked about how the cost sharing will work, Orb isn't sure either, and also isn't sure if Ottawa is still committed to funding part of the expansion.
We are definitely a proponent, a strong proponent of the federal government putting in a share, and we assumed at the beginning of this project, if you remember, it was actually Minister Goodale at the time that brought forward that idea. And we thought that the federal government was going to be there. And we questioned as recently as last fall to the federal minister of agriculture and deputy minister of agriculture why they wouldn't want to contribute their share as they would to any other infrastructure project across this country. They need to come to the table, and we're still on that same page because the cost of that, we can't have it too costly, too unaffordable for producers.
Orb was also asked about the likelihood Ottawa would be willing to cooperate, given the provincial and federal government butting heads over different issues.
I think the relationship would be better if the federal government would come to speak, perhaps to Saskatchewan. We invited federal speakers, ministers here. We had no reply from any of them. So if they're not willing to come to talk to us, and we mentioned this, to Minister Mercalli and Minister Bebeau before when she was Ag Minister to come to Saskatchewan and talk to farmers about what the issues are, and we had no reply. So I think, the ball is in the federal government court on this one for sure, and they need to come here and talk to the province.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt says in a news release, over 58,000 acres of irrigated land has been developed since 2020, the largest growth since the 1980s. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return in 90 seconds time. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. There are many exciting things on the way for agriculture and industry, but they depend on internet access, and if there isn't enough strong connection, they will be missing out on opportunities. Rural broadband was the theme of a speech from Conservative MP for Cypress Hills Grasslands, Jeremy Patser, who is at the SARM convention on Wednesday.
It's something that we have to keep talking about, and it's something that we need to keep bringing up over and over again until it finally gets done for the people living in small towns or out in the country. You guys are the ones who need the most help with getting fully connected to reliable internet that works, and that should be the measure of success, nothing else. It's one thing for the federal government to make announcements about how much money they want to spend on broadband, but the bigger thing, it's not how much you spend or how grand the announcements can be, but what it is what are you actually going to truly accomplish and what are you actually going to be able to get done? I know there are several people in this room here today I've talked about for a number of years about how to apply for funding, how to get projects started and get them going, and we're slowly starting to finally see that happen, but it's taken far too long to get that done. There's too many gatekeepers.
Patser notes having reliable internet in rural areas will not only benefit people who live there already, but also people who may consider moving there, which would grow the community and ease some of the housing and employment crunch in Canada. He also says minimum internet speeds are 50 megabytes download and 10 megabytes upload.
This is a goal which your organization shares, and of course we can all get behind it. For sure that'd be an improvement with better internet, but we should remember to look at it as the minimum. Where most people get stuck isn't necessarily on the download side, although you definitely need 10 megabits if you want to be able to watch a high-quality streaming service at your home. Where people run into trouble, and this is where the business side of using the internet quite often gets tricky, is actually on the upload side. If you have the security cameras on your property, for example, if you use the internet for grain bin monitoring or water level monitoring, you need adequate upload speeds. Google Nest, for example, which is a very popular product, requires 4 megabits of upload speed to get videos onto the cloud. Now that's an example of how there are different things to consider with many broadband projects. Now if I can make one recommendation to you guys, when your RM or any of your ratepayers are talking about applying for funding or meeting with any of the telcos, be sure to ask that the service provided will be able to run a business level of service and to be stable. The deployment of fiber optic around the province is helping to ensure this, but it is important with the last mile deployment that you get absolute certainty and clarity before purchasing.
Affordability is another part of the internet puzzle, and Patser pointed to Starlink as a positive example.
Despite all their challenges, the deployment of Starlink has actually been a breakthrough for quite a few rural communities, for our farmers and ranchers. The gear does run a household about $600 on the initial purchase, but when you consider that the average cost per home connected through federal grant programming runs upwards and in excess of $2,500 per home, that cost all of a sudden becomes much more serviceable. This has been an especially big advancement and boost for the business community, including farmers and ranchers, as there's so much more available to you online in these recent days. Everything from being able to bid on and sell livestock and machinery online, to having digital controls that allow you to monitor your bins and make sure the quality of your harvest is being preserved, even while you're on vacation out on a warm beach somewhere.
The federal government's goal is to have all households have access to high-speed internet by 2030. A chart from the CRTC shows the 2021 target for Canadian households to have access to high-speed internet was 90%, while the bar showing Canada reached 91.6%, urban households carried the load at 99.2%, and rural was well behind at 62.8%.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. May canola closed at $6.30.60. That's up $7.40. July canola closed at $6.40.10, up $6.80. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.46.5, down 8¾ cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.66¼, down 8½ cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.28½, down 3¾ cents. May corn closed at $4.36¾, up 3 cents. May soybeans closed at $11.98¼, up 3 cents. May oats closed at $3.65¾, down 5¾ cents. And that's the commodities update.
Farm Bulletin Board.
There is still time to register for next week's Producer Malt Academy in Saskatoon. The March 20th and 21st session, next Wednesday evening and all day Thursday, will give farmers an opportunity to learn more about the malting and brewing processes from industry experts. In addition, there is no charge for barley producers who pay the Sask Barley Levy. With more on the Producer Malt Academy, this is Mitchell Japp, Sask Barley's Research and Extension Manager.
It's to connect growers with various stages of the value chain through the malt industry, and it really gives a clear insight as to why some of the particulars of malt barley selection are the way they are.
He explains who will be involved in the event.
So it's a combination. We work very closely with the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center, and they really help deliver this. It's an adaptation of 3-day and full week events that they have for Malt Academy at their Winnipeg location, and so they're bringing it out and we're tailoring it to producers. So it's a condensed course.
Japp tells us what they're looking for.
Some of the things that the malt company is looking for, they're looking for plump. They're looking for varietal purity. Germination energy is really big. Which variety is being grown? So a lot of different nuances. Last year, we had issues with some pre-harvest germination or chit. And so all those things are really critical for the malting process. So we've got between Sask Barley, CMBTC, and some of the malt industry that'll be there talking about all these different things and why they're so impactful on the malting process.
He says there will be an opportunity to sample some of the malt products.
Absolutely, yeah. So we start on the Wednesday evening and we'll have an interactive session looking at the malt and going in through some networking, and then on to the next day, the Thursday the 21st, we'll get into the details.
Japp says they will have speakers on a number of different topics.
We'll have the interactive sessions in the evening, looking at the details of different malt types and how those different malts are used for different beers. Then we'll have an overview of the barley market, looking into barley selection from the malter perspective. and then into the details of malt processing, how to evaluate germination energy and why it's important. Then we lead into more of the production side of the event, looking at barley breeding, barley agronomy, new varieties, and how they all fit into the big picture.
He adds that if you pay a levy to Sask Barley, there's no cost to attend the academy.
Yeah, it's complimentary for all Sask Barley producers.
And Japp explains how to register.
You go to saskbarley.com and click on the events page. There's a registration there. So we do need to know who's coming, so register in advance. But yeah, for complimentary for growers and for any producers who aren't registered as barley growers or other industry professionals, there's a small cost to attend.
Mitchell Japp is Sask Barley's Research and Extension Manager. The Producer Malt Academy will be held in Saskatoon next Wednesday and Thursday, March 20th and 21st. Registration is free for levy-paying producers and can be done on the Sask Barley website. The Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association has another zone meeting coming up. That'll be held next Wednesday in Weyburn. For more information on what time it starts and the location, check out the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association website for that. And something to keep in mind for a little later on in the year, the 2024 Crop Diagnostic School will be held July 24th and 25th in Melfort. So the organizers there are asking everyone to save the date for that. And that's a look at today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly sunny with a slight chance of isolated showers or sprinkles. Winds northwest at 25 to 40, gusting over 60 at times, and a high of plus 5. For tonight, partly to mainly cloudy. Winds northwest at 20 to 35, but gusting to 50, a low of minus 7. For tomorrow, cloudy. Winds northwest at 20 to 35, a high of minus 2, an overnight low of minus 16. For Sunday, partly sunny. Winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 6. For Monday, mainly sunny, a high of plus 2. And Tuesday, a 60% chance of developing rain turning to snow in the evening, a high of plus 1 and falling. In the Paw, it's 5 degrees. Swan River, Dauphin, and Shoal Lake Russell are at 4. Brandon and Roblin, 3. Regina and Broadview Mooseman are at 5, Saskatoon, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 4, Hudson Bay, 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a partly cloudy sky, a west wind at 24, gusting to 33 kilometers an hour, 76% is the relative humidity, the temperature is 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for Sask Ag Today for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.